And John Wesley left defeated and depressed, came back to England, and was then later suddenly converted. A tremendous, tremendous conversion. But we're still to love and preach the gospel to those who hate God. If you remember Paul's advice to Titus, that the Cretans, Titus was the young minister to Crete, and he said, the Cretans are always liars. Doesn't sound like a good place to go and start a church. But that was the people to where God called him, and he was to minister to them, whether he was finding them nice, friendly people or not.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and what a privilege to bring you the message of the gospel here day by day, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. We're also on the air Sundays, 9:30, and we invite you to join in as we bring our full church service on Sunday mornings. Now, the program today, we're dealing with love your neighbor. This is the close of the Sermon on the Mount, and we've been on this for a number of weeks. I know we've had a strong run on presenting the teachings of the Lord Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. And now these are available. We have them archived on our website, and you can go in and look for them under sermons, just typing in Matthew 5, that would bring them up, and you can listen to them as they were preached in our church. And we trust that they will be a blessing, and they will be a reference to you, that you might get an understanding of these things. Liberals, modernists, and those that are seeking to compromise the gospel with a social agenda, they all go to the Sermon on the Mount. And so it is a passage that we need to have clearly expounded. And today we're dealing with this whole matter of loving your neighbor as yourself. And that in itself is a challenge to us. So let's begin with reading the passage. This is Matthew 5, verse 43. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So here's the reading, and we come now to the exposition, and that's the whole task of preaching, opening up, teasing out the truths, and laying them out in order. What exactly did the Lord Jesus seek to convey? And of course, the Lord Jesus tells it as it is. He doesn't cloak anything. He doesn't cover anything. We don't have to look in the dark. Here is the written word of God, and we follow the structure of the wording and seek to expound the message in the context with all the helps we can. So we move to our text for today, and it is loving our neighbor as ourselves, and how we may obey our Heavenly Father in this, that ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? So the Christian is held to a higher order than the ungodly. The ungodly, they play tit for tat. They have an eye for an eye or a tooth for tooth mentality. But we are to love our enemies, personal enemies, those who despise us, those who injure us and would offend us. We are to love them for their soul's sake, that they may be delivered from their error and brought to the truth. And that is real love, to bring people to the truth, to repentance over their sin, that they may firstly be right with God, and that we work to that end. We labor to love them, care for them, that we might be the instrument to bring them to know God and to walk with Him. This is most challenging, and when you get down to it, loving those that despise you in your family, in your workplace, even in your school. Maybe I'm speaking to some teenager and you are oppressed and offended by what people are saying about you. Take this to heart and display the grace of the gospel. That's the command of the Lord. So stay tuned now as we turn to our pulpit ministry from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale.
We are not going to follow the rule of the sword, but the rule of the cross. And we need a missionary spirit, not just to people who are lovely and beautiful and gentle and kind to us, but even to those who despise us. I remember listening to a sermon by a man called Paris Reedhead, and he told of a missionary who went to the heart of Africa to take the gospel to heathen people. And he thought as a novice missionary that when he would get into that land that they would just come running out of the jungles and they would welcome him as a missionary. And these would be nice, innocent people. They've never been sophisticated. They've never been spoiled by the philosophies of learning. Therefore, they will just come and lap up every little story of the gospel and rejoice that he came to be their missionary. When he got there, he found that they were depraved and wicked and fighters and they were murderers, and they would have killed him as well. And he realized the error of his way, and he was thrown for a loop. It's not the first time it happened, by the way. You read the story of John Wesley. He had read some book about the savage. Something noble savage, that was the title. And he drunk in all this humanism that if you go to preach to people in another part of the world have never known the gospel, they will just rejoice in the message. And he thought that if he went to North America, to the area of Georgia, and he would preach to the native peoples, that they would just lap it all up and become Christians immediately. Well, to give you proper perspective, this was actually before he was fully converted. He had been ordained in the Anglican Church to be a preacher, but he himself at this point was not yet converted. But he thought that by going out there that he would be an instrument to bring these native peoples in the Georgia area to the knowledge of the Lord. Well, just like the man who went to Africa, they were not one bit interested in what he had to say. They were more in love with their paganism and their darkness and no interest whatsoever. And John Wesley left defeated and depressed, came back to England, and was then later suddenly converted. A tremendous, tremendous conversion. But we're still to love and preach the gospel to those who hate God. If you remember Paul's advice to Titus, that the Cretans, Titus was the young minister to Crete, and he said, the Cretans are always liars. Doesn't sound like a good place to go and start a church. But that was the people to where God called him, and he was to minister to them, whether he was finding them nice, friendly people or not. And we are to have this missionary spirit. We are to be like our Heavenly Father, to love our enemies, to bless them that curse us, and do good to them that hate us. If you remember that little adage, evil for good is devil-like, evil for evil is beast-like, good for good is man-like, good for evil is God-like. And the work of the Christian, the work of the Christian missionary in the church, is to go to those who are evil and bring them the message of salvation which they desperately need. Now, I say again, every one of us are failures at this. We are all more inclined to befriend and spend time with those who are friendly, those who are hospitable, those who are generous. But to those who despise us, who don't want to see us coming, and you go to the door and they open it and say, oh, it's you again. Do you really want to spend time in that inhospitable company? But agape Christianity is the love of God flowing in your heart, just as when he sent his Son into this world while we were yet sinners. God didn't send his Son into a world of saints, but a world of sinners, a world of rebels, a world of hate mongers. And so he sends us. And that person that we may write off and say, well, there's no hope there, God sends us. And he commands us to minister to their heart needs. There is the principle of agape Christianity. I want to move to the power of it. The power to obey. Well, it's not certainly going to come from the flesh or our old nature. It comes from being born again. I spoke of John Wesley, who returned to England very depressed and agitated in mind, not knowing what, greatly disillusioned. All that he had learned about the noble savage was a lie. And he returned to England, and it wasn't long until he became a Christian himself and was converted and began to preach the gospel in all its fullness. But that's only possible when you're born again, when you have a new heart, and when Christ dwells in you. Not I, but Christ. And we need to be filled with his Spirit and his power. We need the mind of the Lord Jesus, where it says, let this mind be in you. And if you know that passage in Philippians 2, it goes on to talk how our Lord Jesus, though he was equal with God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon him the form of a servant. And that's what we have to do, have the mind of Christ, to go to the weak, the lost, the unlovely, and to bring the message of the gospel to them. But we're not alone. We're going to be given power, wonderful power. There will be help when we do this. Now, if you go to Acts chapter 1, you will see the promise that was given to the disciples when they were commissioned to wait for the Holy Ghost to come and to equip them for this ministry, not to the nice people of the world, but the people that would hate them and beat them, and some would even be martyred and murdered for the cause of the gospel. And in Acts chapter 1, there is a great promise. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea. And that's tough enough, starting at home, where everybody knows you, starting in Jerusalem and then Judea. But what about Samaria? You remember the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. They were blood related, but they had two different traditions. And the Samaritans hated the Jew, and the Jew hated the Samaritan. Think of the parable Jesus taught about that man who lay along the wayside. And the Levite and the priest, they didn't touch him, but the Samaritan did. Now, we are called to be good Samaritans, willing to assist not just those people of our own background and our own lifestyle and our own way of life, but those that are the Samaritans to us and who are lost in darkness. A few years before Dr. Paisley died, he began to preach that the south of Ireland is our Samaria. And because of the long history of political and military mayhem for generations, right from the rebellion of 1916, and the south of Ireland was divided, it became a republic, the north of Ireland stayed British, it was mainly Protestant, and Dr. Paisley had the view before his death that the south of Ireland is our Samaria. They are the people where we will be hated, where we will be despised. And he raised money for mission work to be done. And they had a vehicle that would go down and go to the markets and the public places and give out the gospel. Since then, they have continued that burden, and it's called a Consider Christ campaign. And once a month, they have dozens and dozens of evangelists. Now, they're not all ministers and missionaries, they're evangelists. They come from many of the churches, and they go down and they select a particular town, and they'll bombard it with literature. They will hold meetings, and they will try and introduce them to the gospel. Now, it's tough work, but it is their Samaria. It's where they must go, because that's where the Lord calls us to go, sometimes to the toughest parts and places of all. And the Lord promises that he will give us the power to do it. As he says here in this verse 8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now I wonder, what is your Samaria? You know, we're not called here in Western Canada to go to some little geographical spot in Europe. But maybe there is a place where you need to go with the gospel. Maybe there is a family friend or a neighborhood that you do have an opportunity and therefore an obligation to bring them the message of Christ, to love your enemies and those that despise you, that you pray for them even when they persecute you. And the Lord promises power. That's the wonderful thing. And as you step out in faith and obedience to do that, the Lord will give you the power to do it. And that brings me to the practice of agape Christianity. And this is much more than a theory. It is the real test of our new life in Christ. Last week I told you about Billy Bray, Hudson Taylor, how they denied themselves and used that hostility and turned it around to present the message of the gospel to them. Well, I think the best Bible character I can present to you tonight on this score is Stephen the martyr. And you remember how he was stoned. And he looked up and he saw the Lord Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And publicly and loudly he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That example of Stephen was really the spirit of New Testament Christianity. What Stephen was doing is really, in practice, fulfilling this teaching of the Lord Jesus, loving your enemies and doing good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, Stephen died under that stoning, and he died as the most unselfish man, willingly calling on the Lord for his enemies. Now, Stephen did two things. He imitated the selflessness of Christ, and he became a role for other martyrs. And there were many to come in the first century, hundreds and thousands of Christians who would take their cue from Stephen, who fulfilled this teaching of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 5. Now, there are many others down through the age of church history that have followed that example. John Calvin, the dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of evangelists that came to John Calvin for gospel literature and went back to France to face fires of persecution to take the gospel and to reach even their enemies. And here are the words of John Calvin. Most assuredly, if I had merely served man, this would have been a poor recompense. But it is my happiness that I have served him who never fails to reward his servants to the full extent of his promises. You see, that's the expectation of the self-denying Christian, the agape Christian. We believe there's a reward in this, an eternal reward. If we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified together. We're living in a time when many Christians want to opt out of the suffering part of being a Christian. They don't want to pay anything. They want it to be convenient. They want it to be cheap. And they want it to be easy and free. And in doing so, they rob themselves of the eternal rewards. I have a great statement here from B.B. Warfield, an American theologian. I won't take time to read this to you, but the close of it is, the path of self-sacrifice is the path to glory. Are you willing? Are you willing to put into practice this agape Christianity? Now, we're to do this as a church. We're to do this as God's people in this congregation. That we become known as willing to endure hardness for Jesus' sake. The Lord says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Are you willing? Are we ready? I think we were all, with some mixture, blessed and encouraged by the witness of that church in Charleston. Whenever the gunman came in and murdered, I think, everybody in that prayer meeting in the basement of the church. What if that happened in our little congregation? They only had 8 people in the prayer meeting. We don't have many different numbers, some weeks less, some weeks more. But can you imagine someone coming in and gunning down everybody in your church prayer meeting? And then their prayer is, we don't want this hate to spread and to offer forgiveness. Now, I know the politicians really hijacked the whole thing. And I think President Obama really cheapened the whole thing. On the same day that he made an announcement about freedom for gay rights right across the whole nation, he sings Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, once we were blind and now we see. I think the whole thing was so muddied. But I do have to acknowledge that that church set a tone that the media were confused how to report it. You actually want to forgive these people? You have no hatred? What a witness it was. I don't think any of us will know what we would do until we were in that kind of situation. But that's the kind of Christians we need to be. We can call ourselves Orthodox and fundamentalists and Bible believers and all the rest of it. But if we don't have agape, selfless Christianity, where does our doctrine take us? Now, maybe someone will come to you with an apology this week, or someone that you need to encourage to get the matter resolved, and you can be the key person to resolve it. That is the issue the Lord is speaking to here. Not to hate our enemies. Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Hate is not the Lord's way. And we may live even years pouring coals upon people's heads. But that's the way we want to stand before God on the judgment day. If the issue doesn't get resolved on earth, then we'll stand before God on the judgment day, say, Lord, I did what you commanded. I prayed for my enemies. I did good to those who despised me and despitefully used me. I poured coals upon their head. The judgment will be theirs. The reward will be ours. And here is real Christianity. I haven't time to preach the rest of this tonight, but I trust that you'll go your way and that you will put into practice servant, selfless, agape Christianity. May the Lord give us his power to do it.
Well, thank you again for joining with us. And this is a great challenge to every one of us to so live our Christian lives that we will be sacrificial, that we will be willing to pay a price for friendship, to pay a price to steer others in the right direction, and to be a guide unto them rather than a hindrance. And of course, we will stand at the judgment day and give account of how we behaved, not only what we believed, but how we behaved, how we responded in situations where we could have been, instead of aggravating, that we would assist people to walk in the light and do the will of God. So I want to ask you, how are you going to obey this command? Let's start in our homes. And what are you going to put in action today to demonstrate this kind of love that the Lord is calling us to, this agape sacrificial love, to love those that despise us. And we must be willing to initiate. And if we're going to have good friendships, we need to be willing to do more than the 50%. We can't just stand back and say, well, I've done my part, let them now do their part. No, we must go to them repeatedly and seek to reconcile, even at cost. And, of course, the first big cost is our own pride. And we have to be willing to swallow it. We have to be willing to humble ourselves and recognize that we are unworthy. But Christ is worthy. And what we do for Jesus' sake. And when we suffer, we take it because we want to be good ambassadors, good representatives of the Lord Jesus. And there are rewards for that. The Lord will reward us, not because we respond to people who are nice to us, but those who even despise us. So take it to heart. Let's bow in prayer and ask the Lord to give us power in our own souls to do this, because we can't do it in our own strength. We need the power of God. So let's unite in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we bow in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we pray for the Holy Spirit's anointing that we might live in this high standard of obeying the call of Christ and to be Christians who do not respond in the flesh, but that we love those who despitefully use us and even those who are enemies against us, that we might be a witness and demonstrate to them the very love of God in Christ Jesus. Dear Lord, we think of thy sufferings for us on the cross. They are immeasurable. We cannot begin to count the pain, the agony that you bore, and the wrath of God that you bore for us. And now, Lord, as we live for thee in this sin-cursed world, give us the power that we might even suffer for Jesus' sake under the rod of someone's tongue or some form of opposition. Lord, give us grace to live for thee and the joy of doing it and doing it for Jesus' sake. This we pray in his mighty name. Amen. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.